All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Big Kev's Geek Stuff. I don't even, what episode is it? I don't even know what episode it is.
50?
50?
I think it's 50.
Oh, whoopee-doo-dah, episode 50.
That's it, 50.
Well, you know. Well, that's why we're calling it, It's Just 50.
That's what it is,
it's just That's 50. What we're naming it, I think.
Remember 42?
No.
That was a good one.
Was it? Do you remember anything about 42 or are you just randomly picking numbers?
No, I just remember it fondly.
You're lying.
Well, let's see. 40 was the first XM show.
What are you drinking?
41
Wait, hold on.
Was...
Hold on. Fantastic. What is that beverage?
It's coffee.
I see. Is it just coffee, Fantastic? Because, you know, as we know, St. Patrick's Day has just passed. So, wonder what kind of coffee that might be. You have a little...
Bailey's
a little shine about you tonight. I'm wondering...
I took a shower.
Oh, well, that explains it.
I was going to say Soul Glow.
We can move right on.
Too.
Soul Glow is something I need, not something
I
have.
Slow down. What did you say?
Soul Glow.
Right, Soul Glow.
What, is that a thing now? Is that every time I say Soul Glow?
What? Hey, I'm not saying anything. What did you say?
Soul Glow? Just let your soul glow, baby. Feeling oh so silky smooth. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul glow. Soul Glow.
I didn't know Fantastic used that particular hair product.
Look, I've seen the...
Fantastic and Eric LaSalle.
Yeah, I've seen the Fantastic Fro.
The Frotastic?
The Frotastic.
Mr. Frotastic this evening. With his, that product, whatever it is, in his hair.
Soul Glow? Wow, that took us like 45 seconds
and
to beat into the ground.
Dead.
Thank God.
Dead.
I don't ever want to use that bit again.
Three and out. That's what I say about every bit.
Three and out.
Three and out. If we can get three of them in one show and then we're out.
Good news is I have no Firefly.
Take my love. Take my land. Take me where I cannot stand. I don't care. I'm still free. Take the sky from me.
Well, so much for that theory. So much for that theory.
I did that one on purpose, just for fun, for giggles.
I hate to correct you, but there is some Serenity Firefly news tonight. Thank goodness it's not when I say Firefly that we do this, because if it was, we might do it a lot.
Right.
Would you like to hear that, or shall I keep that news from you?
No. Go right ahead. I'd like to have you start the news off tonight. A little different.
Why do I got to do everything?
You and your everything.
All right, here we go. Dark Horse Comics, of course, we know is doing many, many wonderful things.
Sure.
And they will be in conjunction with Josh Whedon, Brett Matthews, and Will Conrad, be working on a new Serenity comic book series that is slated.
Slated. That's a new word.
That shit is slated.
See, he does need soul glow.
Now, what did I say? I said three and out.
I'm sorry.
Damn it. Josh Whedon, Brett Matthews, Will Conrad are working on a new Serenity comic book series that is slated to debut in September or October of 2007.
Okay.
It will take place before the Serenity film, so...
Hey, you know, be careful. Some people may not have seen it yet.
Oh, you mean right here we should probably place a...
Attention, the following information is considered spoiler material.
Right, so therefore you should not listen to the next 3 seconds when I say that it will take place before the deaths of Wash and Shepherd Book.
Yay! Now that time frame would seem to make sense because, as we know, last week... The first issue of the Buffy comic book series from Dark Horse came out.
Tons of news on Buffy comic books, actually, Matt. And I'm going to give it all to you right now.
Ooh.
The Buffy, actually, it was a huge seller last week.
Right.
And after Josh Whedon finishes his, he's doing a 5-issue story arc. They're going to do these all in arcs.
Right.
After that, Brian K. Vaughan.
Okay.
We'll do an arc.
Okay.
Followed by the TV show writer, Drew Goddard.
Okay.
And then Jane Espenson and Jeff Loeb.
Oh, wow.
Are on board to write some sort of arcs that are upcoming.
Excellent.
And Whedon will return and do an additional 4-issue arc next year and the series finale.
Right. So for those of you who don't know, this Buffy series that we're talking about is actually what is supposed to be season 8.
Right.
Of the television show, so to speak.
And they are saying that that will run about 30 issues.
Okay. So that makes sense because that puts us close to when that Serenity book would come out.
It's kind of, isn't that a little odd though? 30 issues is really, it's 2.5 years. Right, 24 and 6 is 30, so that's 2.5 years.
Yeah.
If it's monthly.
Is it not, maybe it's not going to be monthly, maybe it'll be bi-monthly?
I don't know. I think it's monthly.
That seems very long and drawn out.
Huh. Maybe it'll be...
What is that drink, Fantastic?
Cocaine?
Just, yeah. Starting to think.
Maybe it will be bi. It's hard to talk with these headphones on.
It's your job.
Well, these headphones get a lag, so I hear myself, and if you listen to my voice...
It really is thrilling to hear the mechanics of the show. Why don't you make your point?
Well, my point is that I think the 6-foot display case that you have over there now serves its purpose much better, holding an ode to Batman based around what looks to be Batman Black and White.
Oh, figures. You noticed that.
Yeah.
It's fantastic how he breaks our flow to notice new things in the studio.
Hey, we could have left it with the bye.
Yeah, except but I had Buffy news to tell still.
Nobody gives a shit about that. That show is off the air. I don't care.
You know,
you would need to put that down. You're cut off.
You are messing with a dangerous group of fans. The Whedonites are not a group to be messed with.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer Omnibus
yes.
series is expected to run in 7 volumes.
Okay.
And should collect all the non-Whedon Buffy comics in chronological order.
Huh.
That's the other bit of Buffy comics. So I guess all the stuff that's come out before now, they're going to kind of collect in these massive volumes
sure.
and release them that way.
So it looks like Shea LaBeouf, whom you may or may not know from some of the other films he's done with Disney. He did a couple films with Disney.
iRobot.
He's going to be... he did do iRobot,
yep.
which was not Disney.
And he did Holes.
But he did do Holes, and he also did The Greatest Game Ever Played, I believe it was.
Yes, and he also did The Battle of Shaker Heights.
He did do The Battle of Shaker Heights.
Which was the Project Greenlight film.
He's doing the upcoming Transformers film.
Regrettably.
And he is also potentially looking to be the son of Jones in the 4th Indiana Jones film.
Okay. Problem.
On so many levels. First of all, didn't he have a daughter?
To my recollection, the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles indicates that he has a daughter.
Correct.
So, and never any mention of a son. So, right away I have a problem with this continuity-wise.
Right.
Secondly, Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Tell me about him. I don't get it. I don't know
this
guy.
Well, he's just sort of a whiny little Jewish kid.
Yeah, well, first of all, as far
and who's
as...
who's his parents? It's going to be Indian who? Marion Ravenwood?
They don't say. And it's not definite that he is definitely going to be playing that role, but that is the Hollywood hubbub in regards to the film right now.
Well, but since this is Indy 4, right?
Right.
Yeah, since Indy 4 is about aliens and time travel, it is feasible that there's an alternate timeline
all right.
in which this guy
That's
is
it.
His...
That's it. Stop right there.
Son.
Step away from the microphone.
I know what it is.
You are cut off.
No,
you've heard that though, right?
No.
Are you serious?
Nobody's heard that.
That was the rumor for like the last 3
What's
years.
What's it written in the bottom of that glass?
No. I know what the answer is. He went home last week. He put on his Michelangelo Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role-playing set and smacked himself in the head with the nunchuck. That's the only viable answer.
That's the reason that they're dangerous.
Exactly.
Look, kids, this sort of brain damage can happen.
This is what you're gonna come out to be like.
He's Mr. Fotastic tonight with his bullshit news.
My
Just
God.
Stand there.
Yuck.
That's real, Kev.
That's not real.
It's well, what we're talking about...
Aliens, you're out of your freaking head.
While we're talking about casting in films... We had recently discussed Jeff Bridges being cast in the Iron Man film, and who would he play in that film? The rumor naturally at the get-go was that it would be Mandarin, but... Yeah,
Jeff Bridges is Mandarin?
No, we said that was the rumor, and we said, you know, it didn't work, and blah, blah, blah. It looks as though he will be playing the role of Obadiah Stone
mm-hmm.
In the upcoming film. That's going to be his role. So
I don't really know. Fantastic. Could you look up Obadiah Stone and tell us something about his relationship with Iron Man?
So yeah. So that's a big. Who cares? To be honest with you, I don't really give a flying leap about that.
I'm glad you don't give a flying leap about it. But what if it's an important character? Kind of upset. I don't really know my Iron Man mythos very well, except. That I know that guy from Hustle and Flow is going to play Rhodey. Fantastic. What do you got over
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Obadiah Stane, not Stone.
Stane.
That was oopsie on my part. That's all right.
You
I'm a lot to oopsie.
Stink. Oh, my God.
I don't stink. I didn't get hit
Stane,
in the head with the nunchuck.
Stone. Did you drink the coffee, too?
No.
Transfer complete.
It says that he first appeared in Iron Man 163 and appears as the Ironmonger in 200. Iron Man 200.
So there you go.
What other information have you found out, Matt? About the isn't he the leader of the chessmen? Isn't that him?
He is. He is. He is the financier who unknowingly to Stark attacks James Rhodes, takes over Stark International, renames it Stane International, and his henchmen are known as the Chessmen due to his fascination with chess from his childhood.
Right.
So. So he is a pseudo-villain, although it seems kind of, I don't know. It seems kind of anticlimactic as far as villains go.
Can't be the only one.
No. We can't. Well, it's still a bit early, so we'll find out more, I'm sure.
Well, coming out on DVD last week.
Yes.
As we are well aware, would be Casino Royale.
Ooh, Dalali.
Which is the Bond film, the most recent one with the brand new Bond, Daniel Craig, the highly controversial blonde Bond.
Yes. Daniel Craig, who our good friend Adrian is obsessed with. Adrian from action-figure.com.
Well, that's gay. Does it say blonde Bond on the box? It looks like you're reading the box.
I don't think it says blonde Bond on the box.
Oh, all right.
But what was interesting was what came with Casino Royale. And you can argue whether or not, at this point, Bond is sort of a genre flick or not.
You could.
I'd say it's kind of borderline.
Sure.
But when they're putting out products like collectibles,
sure,
cars, and they have action figures also from Sideshow Collectibles.
It's true.
12-inch, complete 12-inch, and quarter-scale Bond pieces as well.
Although we may not see the blonde Bond from Sideshow.
Yes, that's true. But what we will see is the Corgi Aston Martin DBS as used in the film.
How cute.
Yeah, it's a little
now, where was this giveaway?
Size car. This was giveaway at Best Buy.
At Best Buy. Because I was going to say, I know some other store gave out a poker chip, and then there was another store that also gave out a deck of playing cards, I believe.
Really?
Yes.
Well, of all those, I have to say that the Aston Martin DBS kind of Matchbox style car from Corgi.
Right.
Maybe I should have just said Corgi style car. It's nice. It comes in a nice packaging, and it has some sort of, although we haven't really figured it out yet.
Well, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that's it. You can actually twist the package,
and it relieves,
you get different facts about, it's like a little trivia thing. It says, like, for example, it gives you a question, who sends Bond the DBS in the film? And then you turn to the other side, and it says M.
Oh.
And the plate, the number plate reads, and you turn TT378-20. It's like a little turn the dial to unlock the facts.
Sure.
Neat packaging piece here. Wow, that really is clever.
That's an interesting way to get the Try Me packaging gimmick into a Corgi product.
Into a collectible piece that...
Sure.
You know, it is really, wow, this is...
Now, what
really
I'm wondering is if that piece was only available as a Best Buy giveaway, or if that is a Corgi piece that is also available on the mass market.
Okay, I would say it's probably available on the mass market because on the back they do list other pieces from other Bond films.
Excellent.
So, I'm going to say probably that this is one of the line.
Excellent.
And I don't know, maybe this packaging is specific for this giveaway. I don't know.
I don't know.
That'd be a lot to go through for
one
exclusive. Anyway, that was what was available at Best Buy. As you said, Matt, poker chip, a deck of cards from somebody else. The car was in our genre. We got the car.
Exactly. What I don't get, however, is why Jason Lee is going to be doing voice work for a completely CGI movie based on Alvin and the Chipmunks, from the creative minds that brought you Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties.
Wow. Did you see that Freudian slip? Garfield. How accurate.
Jeez.
Hey, I got news for you.
What?
Isn't he also the voice of Underdog?
He is the voice of Underdog.
What's with Jason Lee and doing every voice job that comes up?
I'll tell you what's with Jason Lee and doing every voice job that comes up.
I know the answer.
What?
Can't shave the mustache.
Can't shave the mustache. That is a big, big thing, because God forbid he loses that mustache, the whole Earl image is gone. And that Earl image is, I mean, that's his gravy train.
Some of the news to come out of New York Comic Con.
Ooh.
Dan Buckley, who is the publisher over at Marvel Comics.
Right. Exactly.
Has worked out an agreement between Marvel and Heroes Initiative to offer a collected edition featuring 99 of the 100 covers done by some of the field's top talents to raise funds for the Heroes Initiative, which offer financial assistance to veteran comics creators, which is a great, great cause.
It is.
You know, because some of these guys are getting old. They got medical bills. Everyone kind of points to the Dave Cockrum situation. you know, where they were taking up special collections and stuff to help out Dave Cochran's medical bills before he passed. And this is a great idea. I don't know what it's 100 covers of.
Yeah, when I had heard this, I was wondering the same exact thing. I'm not exactly sure, and that story in there is not really very specific.
Is there a book called Heroes Initiative?
It could be, and I'm sure that somebody out there who's listening will know the answer to that and will let us know.
And someone named Starman had best get typing, because I have no idea. Well, I think the point of the story is, however, every cover except the one created by Todd McFarlane will be included in the collection.
Now, that's really very interesting, and I wish they would have elaborated more on that.
Well,
because I wonder if that's a Todd move, or if that's a them move, or if it's
a Todd move.
But what would, I mean, is Todd really that pompous and asinine at this point?
What do you think? First of all, he had to do the piece because it exists, which means he had to, in some way, want to take part in whatever this initiative thing was. So that being said, he's already done the piece. What is his problem with it getting published? If he donated the piece already.
My only thought is that maybe he sees no residuals from it being published again.
It's a fucking charity.
I understand that. But what else could you think of? Is it just him sitting in a chair at home going, you know, throwing darts? Will I be a dick? Will I not be a dick? Oh, it hit. I'll be a dick?
Well, I think it's more like a throne, but the rest of it I'm with you on.
Made of bone with a long red cape flowing
big
behind.
Red cape and... single light above his head, just pointing straight down.
Right, with a little book in his hand as he pins Spawn 2, the live-action movie.
Oh, God. And he really is working on that.
I know. Another remake that I read about this week that is absolutely infuriating would be starring Gerard Butler, whom we will get to later in the show. For those of you who don't know, Gerard Butler, King Leonides in 300, which opened this past weekend, but we'll get to that later again. But... looks like he's potentially going to be playing Snake Plissken in a remake of the 1981 film Escape from New York.
Why?
There are so many things wrong with this. First of all, didn't they already try to remake Escape from New York?
No.
Except they called it Escape from LA?
Yes. It was a sequel. Bad one. Or a good one, depending on how you look at it. I look at it as exactly the same film.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
A little more goofy. Are you shitting me?
I am not. And speaking of shit... I could make a movie, Escape from My Ass, about a turd trying to break away and set himself free from my oppressive hole, and it would be better than this remake.
Why would they do this?
I have no idea. It is so infuriating and angry for so many reasons. A, it's a film that doesn't need to be touched or remade because it is a cult film and it should stay the way it is.
Is this really happening?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Anyone else attached? Director?
Not
yet.
Neil Moritz is attached to produce. He did... I don't know what he did.
Who cares what he did?
But
he's now an enemy of this show.
But Ken Nolan, who wrote... Black Hawk Down is penciled or is in there to pencil it. So I don't understand why. I don't understand why Gerard Butler would do this, especially because he has a potential huge career in front of him. And this is just a black mark on that.
You were
career.
Wise to keep that from me in the pre-show.
I know. I wanted natural reaction.
I am such a huge fan of that movie and that character.
I know.
Can't believe they would do this. Incredible nonsense. But speaking of incredible and not quite nonsense... Hellboy animated Sword of Storms bust-ups from Gentle Giants have hit.
Uh-huh.
For those of you that do not know, these are little figures, little parts of figures, look like little busts, thus called bust-ups.
Right.
Little plasticky statues, you kind of put them together. There's five of them in Series 1, and they include Hellboy in a kimono
okay,
with a big sword, fighting Hellboy...
Right.
Hellboy versus Bat God.
Okay.
Which I still haven't watched Sword of Storms. I'm sure these are all very relevant, but I just don't know who they are. Lightning and Thunder.
Okay.
Who are also, I guess, two of the dudes Hellboy fights. They also contain a piece of the Graveyard Skeleton. And if you get all the figures, you could put the Graveyard Skeleton together. And he is humongous. He's
right.
Like, so I'm at Toy Fair, is like 7 or 8 inches tall, right?
Now, these are not blind boxed. Is that
They
correct?
Are not blind boxed.
Okay,
no.
Good. So you can complete the skeleton
you
if
can,
you wish.
Right, you can buy all five,
okay,
and you can get your whole collection together at one time, build your skeleton, and have a whole nice little setup from Hellboy Animated. I think they're going to continue these with the other animated piece that's coming out, Blood and Iron.
Yes. Okay.
And yeah, they're very nice. Stone Giant does a good job on that sort of thing.
Looks like DC is going to be working on an adaptation of Shazam for New Line Cinema. John August, who you may know from Go and Big Fish, will be penning it. And I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not a huge Shazam fan. I've never been a great fan. He is an iconic character. And so certainly he seems, I guess, appropriate for some sort of adaptation. But I don't know. What do you think?
I don't see the appeal. He's like Superman light.
Yeah.
Sort of, but not really, but sort of.
Maybe it's New Line, you know, grasping for something since they've shunned Jackson and the potential Hobbit film.
Yeah, shunned. That's kind of really a light way to...
I'm trying to be nice.
Get the fuck out, jerk off.
I'm being polite. Oh, don't call him jerk off. That's not very
nice. I don't think he's jerk off. I'm saying that's what they said that's about him. Said, right? Well, here we go.
Uh-oh.
This had to happen.
Okay.
Marvel and IDW are joining forces.
For?
To produce their first crossover project.
Ooh.
Ready? Where's Fantastic? I want to get everyone's reaction when I read it. You ready, Fantastic?
I'm ready, Big Kev.
Are you ready, Matthew?
I am, sir.
New Avengers Transformers.
Ew.
Written by Stuart Moore and illustrated by Tyler Kirkham.
Ew.
You know, I don't like G.I. Joe Transformers or Transformers G.I. Joe.
Okay, but here's the thing. In defense of that, I could potentially see making more sense than this. At least G.I. Joe Transformers, there's this whole military versus the robots thing.
And they're both from the 80s, and you're right.
Right.
Which to me, you're right, this makes even less sense.
There's a tie in there. But Marvel
both from
and
the same
Avengers,
toy company.
Ew.
And that's the same thing we're seeing here, because now, let's not forget, Hasbro has the Marvel license.
Okay.
So, which makes all the more easy... This sort of delicious crossover.
This sort of shit crossover.
Don't forget.
The Avengers and the Autobots take on the Decepticons?
Let me remind you, my friend. Transformers and G.I. Joe Fantastic, for that matter, both Marvel books in the 80s.
Yes, I know.
So.
But this isn't as bad as the current Transformers Star Wars crossovers, which isn't a book, but it's the toy. You seen the toy where the
transforming.
But I think
Star
that's
Wars?
Ridiculous.
Oh,
too,
they
right?
are awful.
Yeah, I hate those.
They're awful.
They don't actually look that bad, but the whole premise that they're just jamming the two things together.
Yeah, it's
and
just
Obi-Wan
very
is a Transformer.
Yeah,
I can't stand it.
Yeah,
only one of those
Hasbro.
Do I like, and that's the one that's coming out. That's the Death Star. That's it. Just because when it's transformed to the Death Star, it's really cool looking.
Okay.
Just saying.
Unbelievable.
I'm allowed to like one out of the line.
It's fine. Of course, you can like whatever you want. Like, why
he likes
you?
Them. He likes them all.
So I sent you an image.
I saw that image.
What did you think?
Looks a lot like Rorschach to me.
Oh, I saw that too.
Apparently it is Rorschach.
Really?
I've read it. I believe it was on Ain't It Cool News that I read it. It was an image that Zack Snyder had on his iPod.
I want to stop you right here before we go any further with this.
Okay.
What is the man's name?
Zack Snyder.
What? Spell that last name.
S-N-Y-D-E-R. Is it just
is there
Snyder?
A shh? Is there a shh?
I cannot believe how critical he's being of you now, knowing that if you listen back...
Earlier in tonight's episode, right?
You said Josh, which is... Twice, yeah. By the way, which is the exact opposite of this construction.
I don't believe that's true.
Actually, it is. I just didn't feel the need to point it out. But that's okay.
Well, see, there's the difference between you and I.
Well, right. He's going to edit it out, so it won't be true.
He can't edit it out. Otherwise, it's just going to be blank. No. He's going to have to bleep it.
You know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be, you know. And, of course, coming up in Buffy news, Joss Whedon. I don't care that you say it wrong, really.
Aw.
You sound like an ass.
Just like you.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
So this image appeared online. It was on Ain't It Cool News. Apparently it's come from Zack Snyder's iPod. And it looks like some sort of, I don't think it's a real guy. It looks like a 3D rendering, maybe a CGI.
This is the one where it's It's his head in the coat, and it's very dark.
Yeah, it's a bust. It's probably from like the top of his chest up. You could see the mask, but you can't really see anything on the mask. But you could see that he's got like the bag thing on his head, and he's got the hat.
It looks like fedora. It looks like that piece that's the wallpaper for my Mac.
Yes, it does look,
but darker.
But yeah. the splotch on his face is not defined at all.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but when I read the book, I always took it to be that the splotch was something that moved, that they always said there was like liquid between two layers or something like that.
It did. It changed.
Yeah.
And it actually changed to reflect, you know, his emotion mood. Or his mood or whatever. Yeah, certainly.
This doesn't look like that to me, but this is only one still photo, so you can't really derive that from the still.
I think it's very early on, considering the fact that nothing really is solid about the movie. I mean, I think the only casting we've heard is potentially Gerard Butler. We know that Zack Snyder is directing. But there's not a whole lot else out there. So just to see anything is interesting. And again, that face is really almost pretty blank. You can't make out the...
But isn't that kind of the point of that mask, is that it kind of just keeps changing all the time?
Right. Well, that's what we're saying. But in the image, it's blank.
When I missed that? So,
yeah, we said that like 35 seconds ago.
My guess would be when they actually get to do the movie, it's going to be CGI. And the mask will just change. Sure. That's all.
Yeah, CG.
It'll be a guy in a suit.
I have one more bit
If Doug Jones is available, perhaps.
I don't think it'll be Doug Jones. If they're going to do Watchmen directly from the book, then it's going to have to be some bloke.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
With red hair.
Right.
Who's crazy.
What else you got, Big Kev?
I just actually want to close out with a bit of underground loveliness. Joe Pruitt, who does the Desperado image. I mean, the Desperado imprint for Image.
Right.
Is now breaking away from Image. And he's going to take some of the books and some new books.
Okay.
That he's creating. And he's going to spin them off. And the most exciting of which is Dr. Sin the Scarecrow.
Right.
By Gary Reed and Tom Mandrake.
Okay.
And for those of you that don't know, Dr. Sin the Scarecrow was... a TV show or a series of movies, depending on which versions you've seen, from Disney in the 70s.
Way back when.
Yeah. Starred Patrick McGowan as the Scarecrow. And if you've never seen them, they're really kind of awesome.
Right.
They're...
For years, you were trying to hunt them down, I remember.
I have them now.
obviously.
And they fall in that same category as Zorro and Black Coat.
Right, right.
And it's kind of that sort of revolutionary superhero type character, but this is one of the kind of preemptors of those guys. Well, maybe not Zorro, because I don't know exactly how far it goes back. But apparently, it looks like it's going to be a great book. It looks like some of Tom Mandrake's best work yet, as far as art goes, and I'm really, really excited about that. I'm a big, giant fan. The novels... There are a whole bunch of novels, and I just right at this moment can't remember the author.
Right.
But it's really, really sort of exciting, kind of superhero political type stuff. Not really superhero, though.
You know, bringing that up actually kind of jogged something in my mind that I wanted to throw out there real quick, since I am a Disney retard. they've recently said that it looks like they are going to be finally putting out a legitimate DVD version of Songs from the South.
Really?
Yes. Potentially. It's still not definite. No alterations.
Uh-huh.
The original film, original content. I'm guessing they'll just take a transfer, you know, probably a cleaned up transfer from that VHS they did years ago.
Not even the VHS. They have the Japanese Laserdisc.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sure
Disney has it somewhere.
Disney probably has a great print of it somewhere.
But yeah, I think Iger, who's the new guy in charge over there,
is a racist.
Is starting but I think he's starting to acknowledge the fact that it is what it is,
and
it is a good piece of Disney work.
There's another racist film too
that Disney did.
Yeah, and I can't remember what it's called now.
It's called Aladdin.
That wasn't.
But actually,
that was recent racism.
In the next Disney 2D animated movie, which is going to be the Frog Princess, it's the first ever black Disney princess.
They've had brown before, but never
black. They have had brown before. They've also had lion, I believe.
I don't think it'll ever see the light of day.
Aw, come on. Sure it is.
Disney's board has vowed never to release that film again in the U.S.
Is this Zippity Doodah?
It is.
See, that's how I know it. That's how us
plebes
know it. Yeah, I think I had the tape when I was little.
Incredibly racist.
They've released the animated shorts from the film before.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like sing-alongs.
Yeah, they've done the sing-along version of Uncle Remus and Zippity Doodah.
Right.
But, you know, some of the other stuff in there particularly comes to mind, the Tar Baby bit of the movie.
Right.
Really does kind of borderline on...
Well, yet it's another great stab in the great underground DVD market. The great Disney underground bootleg Song of the South will go south.
Yeah.
Won't it?
It will.
If that comes out legit. I don't believe it. I don't think it'll ever happen.
We'll see. I kind of hope it does. I'd like to see it.
I have a beautiful copy myself.
I have a great copy, too. I think I paid like $8 for it.
You better shut up, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Disney will come right after you.
I did not pay $8 for it. I don't own it either.
Who is that?
Who's what?
Kev, New Jersey's Wild Pig Comics 2 is celebrating its 7th anniversary with their 24-hour sale, this year extended to 29 hours.
Wow.
From noon Saturday, March 31st to 5 p.m. Sunday, April 1st. Every item on the sales floor will be 50% off. This is Wild Pig's largest sale yet.
40,000 back issues, including high-grade silver and Bronze Age books, as well as thousands of 50-cent books from the 70s to present. Over 1,700 mid- to high-grade Bronze Age books that have just been purchased will be added to the boxes on the eve of the sale. Over 1,500 trade paperbacks will be on sale. Hundreds of statues and toys, as well as an action figure blowout mat. All figures will be $5 a piece, including dozens of DC Direct and Marvel Legends figures.
So be sure to go early for the best selection. But remember, you can even come in at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning if you are so inclined. In addition to the huge sale that they will be holding, they will also have the annual 24-hour Artists Challenge. See up-and-coming indie artists attempt to write and draw a 24-page comic book in 24 hours.
Featuring artists Danielle Corsetto of GirlsWithSlingshots.com, our friend Chris Moreno of Paul Jenkins' sidekick Dracula vs. King Arthur, and the hysterical Monkey in a Wagon vs. Lemur on a Big Wheel. Not to mention Jamie Halton of InHisLikeness.com.
Another good friend of the show.
A sponsor of the show. And Bill Ellis of silver-rage.com.
This is not a phony sale. Prices will not be raised the night before.
No cards, no games, no fads. Just 1,400 square feet of wall-to-wall comics.
Presented by Jersey's hardest working comic shop, Wild Pig Comics 2.
Wild Pig Comics 2 is located at 14 South Michigan Avenue in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Minutes from Route 22 East and Garden State Parkway Exit 138.
We Spartans have ascended from Hercules himself, taught never to retreat, never to surrender, taught that death in the battlefield is the greatest glory he could achieve in his life. Spartans, the finest soldiers the world has ever known.
This is David Winham from 300.
Hey, this is Gerard Butler from Frank Miller's 300.
Hey, this is Zack Snyder from 300, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
This is Sparta!
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you.
You said Patrick McGowan. Let's talk about the Prisoner remake.
Oh, never.
Come on.
I'm never going to talk about that show.
You don't like the old Prisoners?
No, I hated 68? That show.
I love that show. That's the one of the few box sets that I have.
Oh, my God.
I got it for $90 at Costco.
You were robbed.
It's like 13 episodes. It's awesome.
The Prisoner?
Why don't you like it?
It's terrible.
It's a great show.
It's terrible.
It's a awful. Cult classic.
Oh, my God.
I know nothing about it.
Patrick McGowan was great in The Scarecrow, and he was great as Edward the First in Braveheart.
He's the killer in Columbo on at least two occasions.
I think he was wasn't he like the Phantom's dad in The Phantom? Or like the previous Phantom, since they're all kind of related.
If you say so, I'll agree.
I know. It's another movie you've never seen.
The Phantom?
Yeah.
The one with
Billy Zane?
Billy Zane.
I have seen it. It's awful and horrendous.
I think he played Billy Zane's dad, I think.
I heard people like that movie.
Kevin liked that movie. He's got a poster of it in the office.
In the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, let me check the poster.
Good. And while Drunk goes to do that, you know what's becoming more evident?
What?
What we have talked about on many occasions is the fact that our geek culture seems to be crossing so much over into the mainstream culture.
Well, that's pretty much one of the premises of this show.
Right. And because of that, we have to take time now and again to talk about when these large crossovers happen.
Right.
So it's happening right now.
A lot, actually.
In two different ways.
Yes.
So let's take them one at a time.
Okay. Let's start with
300.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to start with 300.
Okay.
So 300... of course, as we know, a super fabulous first weekend 2 weeks ago.
70 million its opening weekend.
Right, and it's made much more since then.
Sure.
And it really is, we actually got to see it.
We did.
And it was...
awesome.
Fantastic. Such a great translation. Now, there were some things that were different about the...
the book.
The movie.
Versus the book,
The book. One is the fact that they made the queen a much more prominent character in the film than she was in the book.
Right.
They really kind of pumped up this whole strong female presence in the film, and I think that was appropriate.
I think it was kind of an expansion upon a character that didn't have a chance to develop in the book.
Right.
I think, you know, the book was a little bit shorter to turn, to make into a full 2-hour movie, and so obviously you have to flesh things out, you have to expand upon certain characters, and the queen certainly was appropriate for that.
300 has now become this incredible political film.
And it really is mind-boggling to me. It kind of hurts a little bit when I read these stories. I mean, it started with a group of people who were saying that the movie had a lot of parallels to Bush and how Bush is handling foreign affairs, and Bush's entire presidency, and how the film is obviously trying to be anti-Bush and anti-American government. And all I could think to myself is, you do know it's based on a book, right?
Yeah, and a comic book, nonetheless.
And not only is it based on a book, right? But actually, there was another film called The 300 Spartans years ago that is also a similar or same story. I mean, this is not...
it's not a new thing.
This is not a new story.
It wasn't created by Frank Miller.
There is actual historical bits and pieces of this story.
Right.
Frank Miller really expanded upon it in his style.
Right.
For purposes of the book, and then it was adapted to film.
And there's no doubt, it also can be said about Frank Miller's work, that there is an undertone of politicalness to his work, obviously.
Surely.
Dark Knight, if you've read either Dark Knight story, you know that there are politics in his comics.
Sure.
If you read Sin City, you know that there is some politicking, at least,
right,
in those stories as well. So it's not out of the ordinary for that to be happening here. But to have people be taking it as some sort of American kind of... I don't even know. What would you say?
Well,
American statement on the situation in the Middle East.
Yeah. Well. Here's the crazy part. At first, I just thought, God, there are some dumb shits in this country that are reading way too much into this film. Okay. Because the film really is. I mean, it's a good, entertaining piece of fantasy film. That's what it is.
Right.
But Then I read a couple days later that actually, I want to say it's Iran, is actually trying to stop the showing of the film in its country because they're saying that it it's against them and it's against their background and their religious beliefs. I guess Xerxes is somehow related to something in their culture.
Oh boy.
What exactly, I'm not sure. And so they're saying that they're making Xerxes out to be this horrible slave driver, and he's, you know, he's ruthless and he cares nothing about people, but really he was this great blah blah blah. People, slow down.
Yeah, it really,
it's a movie.
Is America the Spartans in this farce?
Well, my opinion is that the mainstream distills everything. This comic book, this Civil War book, probably tells a pretty good story. But you give it to the mainstream, or you make the mainstream media write about it, and they will turn it into something that my mother can understand when she reads it in 35 seconds.
Right. Well, wait. Now, let's not get ahead, because we're actually going to go there in a second. So let's finish what we're saying about 300.
Well, my point is, I read an article in the Providence Journal, which may or may not have been an AP article in the journal, and the guy was just so off base in terms of the most basic things that you can describe about the movie. He said homoerotic about six times in a three-column article. Whereas if you're someone who reads comic books, or you're willing, you have patience and you're willing to get to the actual story, or appreciate the movie for its visceral artistic value, all right, they're almost naked. Is it really that homoerotic? I haven't seen it, but is it like gay porn?
No, it actually, it's not homoerotic at all.
If showing a scantily clad man killing another scantily clad man is homoerotic,
well, this guy thought it was homoerotic.
They're doing it with spears, so I mean, I guess
there's
that correlation.
That's a good point. And Prince's guitar looks like a penis. Who are the people that say that? It's mainstream people,
right?
Not somebody who's a Prince fan and's like, oh, look, his guitar looks like a dick. They'll get over that. It's the moms and the dads.
It really is. It kind of hurts a little. It hurts my brain.
It does. It should.
It really does.
When I read X-Men, I read Ultimate X-Men all the way up to 70, whatever, 8.
Right.
And the whole time, like I said, I was thinking this would make a great movie, a great movie, a great movie. And then the X-Men movies came out and I started watching. I'm thinking to myself, I don't want them to make movies about this because the movies suck, because they distill, because they take whatever they can identify with and put that on the screen and say, and this is the story.
Now,
Wolverine
wait.
Is a rogue. There
now,
you
wait.
Go.
Be careful, because you're kind of given the impression that, tell me if I'm wrong, you're given the impression that you don't like the fact that they made 300 into a film and they have somehow changed it in a way that was negative to the story.
I haven't seen the film, but I have seen Sin City, and I would assume that it's more like Sin City is to the book than X-Men the movie is to X-Men the comic books.
Yes.
And for that, I'm sure that's why it's a better movie, number one.
Right.
But still, the media reaction to these things and the way that people who know X-Men only through the movies know these characters is by only knowing 2% of them, not 10%,
right.
2%. And then, you know, that's what characterizes that normally rich character in the book. But in the movie, that's it. Wolverine has claws. He's an animal. He's unpredictable. He can't remember anything.
See, now, I didn't really get that impression, and I don't want to get too far off topic, but I didn't get that impression in the X-Men films until the third film. I actually thought Wolverine was portrayed pretty dynamically in the first two films, and it wasn't until the third film that he became a cardboard cutout of Wolverine.
I agree. I think the first kind of was the introduction, so not much happened.
Right.
The second began to walk the line, and the third just went into action movie that just
walked off the line. Walked off the line.
I didn't get it.
Off the pier.
The only memory in that movie that I have, and I've seen it, I think, two times or so, two and a half, because I probably couldn't get through the third, is of the fake marrow guy.
Yes,
throwing the bone spires at Wolverine, and he's knocking them away. That was it.
Right.
Wolverine, one of the most rich characters in all of comic history, has a rich tapestry of story accompany his cool powers. And what do you get? Nothing but the animal and not a good part. You'd rather look at a static image of him and Sabretooth locking a fight to the death than watching the movie.
That's agreed. But what we're really focusing on here, especially with 300, is the political ramifications that have been created, well, at least by the people who are, for example, the Iranians are trying to block the film.
Right.
And they're saying because it's politics, the politics of the film are somehow against their religion, against their culture, and so on.
Well, and
so
it portrays Xerxes in a negative light, et cetera, et cetera. I mean,
they're entitled. Is that their history? I mean, if that's really their history, fine. And they want to stand behind that and try and defend it, fine. They have that, and that's their opinion.
I find it really interesting, too, that a lot of the flack and a lot of the finger-pointing is going directly back to Zach, whose last name I shall not pronounce now, and not even further back. I mean, if you think about it, Zach really took Frank Miller's work and put it transcribed it to film.
Sure.
I mean, there are certain scenes out of the book that are match the shots in the film,
right,
much like Sin City was done. So kudos to Frank Miller and Zach. But why point the finger at him and not another step back? It just seems so bizarre and ignorant, and I think that's what really bothers me.
And it really wasn't it done mostly in Europe anyway, the film? Besides Zach being American, I think everyone else in the film is a Brit.
Or a foreigner, at the very least.
Foreigner.
So
you
were kind of alluding to it being an allegory for current government.
Well, that seems to be what they're saying.
Yeah, but I think you could take any movie,
any
war movie, or any. I mean, you could somehow take the Lord of the Rings and make it an allegory for the current political environment of the world.
Oh, it is.
Okay, but when was the Lord of the Rings written? I mean, so.
Actually, Matt, it's an allegory of nature versus industrialism.
Nurture.
Right. Not nurture, you nerd.
So
it is that, and that's what the book was intending. But what I'm saying is you could take the film and correlate it to the current political culture.
I just think it's the easy thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's ignorant is what it is.
It's the easy thing to write about when that's what you know about. If you're a writer who wants to appeal to that geek crowd, and that geek crowd is so engrossed, and they have such a wide and deep knowledge of the material, the only way that you can try and even approach them is to talk about what you know.
But
that's what they do.
But the good thing about all of this is that it is bringing this geek film to a wider audience. So they can bitch and they can complain and they can say what they want about it, but in the long run, it's actually helping us out.
Right, because it's bringing the film wider. More people are going to want to go see it and say, well, what the hell is with this?
And hopefully a few of them will be interested enough to follow it back.
And pick up the book. Which, of course, ultimately would be the nice goal of it would be to not only be entertained by the film, but then to find the source material and even go back a little further, maybe find out some of the history of that and so on. And maybe even the 300 Spartans movie might get a little bump.
Go back and study the Battle of Thermopylae.
The Discovery Channel and the History Channel, they get sucked right into that.
I'm sure.
You know, That's their bread and butter, though.
It's funny to see them adapt. They see this movie coming out, and then they'll talk about all the battles, the Spartans, and they'll just have those one-hour, two-hour specials on those things.
It's great. It's awesome.
It is nice.
Okay.
And speaking of ignorance, which you brought up earlier,
yes,
I would like to say hello to the 30 or 40,000 ignorant motherfuckers who bought Captain America 25 last week or 2 weeks ago because Cap died in it.
Dude, he died.
And it made national news.
It was on Fox.
It was on Fox.
It was on CNN.
It was on CNN.
It was on the Colbert Report.
The Big Brother Fox comes from.
Not the Married with Children Fox.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, certainly not that one.
Silly boy.
Look, it even made the cover of the Daily Bugle.
Oh, God.
It's ridiculous now. It's to the point of being ridiculous when... And now it's being discussed as a real event, and it shouldn't have happened now. And now people are complaining that they shouldn't have killed Captain America while we're at war.
That was the exact comment that I heard on Fox. I couldn't. What?
What?
Well, because Cap is an icon of America, and he defeated the Nazis, and he should be there to help defeat Bush. I mean, the Middle East. I mean, whatever it is we're fighting over there.
Who are we defeating?
I don't know.
Matt.
Who are we fighting?
Mission accomplished.
Exactly. Thank you.
All right.
But to make a big deal about the fact that Captain America has been killed while we're at war, I mean, that's the big news. And the fact that CNN carried that Captain America was killed, comic book character of 70 years, whatever the hell it is, was killed. I mean, it's just... It's ridiculous.
I think DC should kill off Uncle Sam.
Yeah, I should. Well, for so many reasons. No, it has become actual news, and because it became actual news, it was actually discussed as an event that was discussion worthy.
It was water cooler talk.
Hey, that so, Captain America. I mean, I bet if we just got 10 people out of the street in this neighborhood, we'd get mugged. But if we got 10 people out of the street who were not armed, we said, who is Captain America? I bet three of them maybe would know who he was.
That bloke that died last week.
Hey, exactly. That's that brother who died.
Yeah, but you can't go by the 10 people out of the street model, because I just read on Dig that out of 10 people out of the street, 8 of them will think that the Earth is 10,000 years old. So
that's great.
That's not the greatest barometer to use.
True.
Good point. Good point.
I think it bothers me and it delights me that this crossover happens.
Right.
It bothers me in the sense that are we really so lacking in news that the discussion of a comic book character dying is taking precedent in the news?
No, we're not. But it is a great distraction.
Yeah, it is. And on the positive side, yes, it is a great distraction, and it also shines a light on the industry, because like I said, you had 30 or 40,000 speculators who are running out and snatching up copies of Cap 25 with both covers and putting them in bags and putting them on eBay. They were selling for as high as $40 the week that they came out. They've now settled somewhere in the comfortable range, I hear, of $12 to $15 for a $3 book.
And if you wait about 3 or 4 years, it'll be in a dollar bin.
Undoubtedly. But that's not the point. The point is that the speculation market, and people are getting the money for it that they want to get for it.
Sure.
It's even for sale on Craigslist.
I'm not surprised.
I saw it for sale on Craigslist.
Look, remember, Superman died and the world went crazy. Batman broke his back and the world went crazy. So Cap dies and the world goes crazy.
That's right. And who
but
cared?
It's DC 2, Marvel 1. Who's next?
Is it Marvel 1?
Well,
they did Spider-Man.
Yeah, they did.
They
but it wasn't
Spider-Man, so.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about death. I mean, I guess you could say maybe that was the death of Peter Parker in an abstract Picasso sort of way, but
it was like I said, it delights me and it bothers me at the same time.
Sure.
And overall, this whole topic that we're discussing today, this giant crossover geek nonsense that actually becomes news.
Right.
Really, really just bugs the shit out of me. I mean, politics and the media, and we are in such a place in this country that we need to be distracted by what comic book movies mean and that comic book characters are dying. Hey, you know,
well, you know, it's a toss-up.
Comic book characters die all the time. They don't stay dead.
Look,
that's the news.
It's a toss-up. It's Britney shaves her head or Captain America dies. I'd rather read about Captain America dying. Maybe that's the geek.
Really? Because Britney's kind of hot.
Maybe with hair.
Not now, but, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, back in, like, 2000.
In the day.
The day. Mm. Well, I just can't wait to see in summation of this segment, I just can't wait to see what's going to cross next. And you know what it's going to be.
What?
The Watchmen. Because The Watchmen is hugely political.
Okay, but
talk about politics. Alan Moore has never written a comic book that politics wasn't a part
of. But The Watchmen is blatantly political.
Just like V was blatantly political. V was so political, they stalled V from coming out because there was a London subway bombing.
The difference with V being political is that it's not American political.
It doesn't matter.
So we don't care as much here.
It doesn't matter. It's still political.
I understand that.
How the hell are daggers legal to show him, but not nunchucks? The guy has like fucking 6 daggers, right?
Yeah.
Because daggers are made of steel.
What?
I don't know what that means. Just throwing it out there.
Are you saying because that they sold a V dagger in Britain?
No, he wants to know how a dagger can make it on the big screen.
Oh, but nunchucks
can't. But a nunchuck cannot.
Oh.
Thank you for clarifying. I thought he would. He's a bright guy. I thought he would have.
Well, the light bulb.
No, I'm a bit more elevated than you and evolved. So I count on Matt to translate for me from your monkey speech, Darwin. Now get me a banana.
Is this a fantastic the Kev dictionary I got here?
You are the Fantastic DeKalb Dictionary is you. Nothing fantastic? No retort?
So I read The Watchmen about a couple months ago.
Right.
Do you have my reading copy, by the way?
No, I gave it back, you jerk.
Somebody has it.
And then he sent it back to you in the mail, didn't he?
No.
That kid?
That kid sent it back to me in the mail. And then the day I got it, I gave it out to somebody else.
I don't know. Not me.
Somebody that was here. Oh, maybe it was Best Buy Billy.
Oh.
Triple B. I bet Triple B has it.
So what I like is that not only is it political, but it's political in the 80s, which I can relate to.
Which they are going to
do.
Maintain.
According to Zach, or on first name basis.
But it doesn't matter. That it's political, it's 80s politics, it's still going to, they're still going to find relevance to it today.
I'm sure.
Just like V.
I'm sure.
V was 80s politics, more or less.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stunned.
Well, look.
Even League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was political in nature. There wasn't political, you know, kind of a subservient government kind of theme to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Granted, not a great translation to film, but still, if you read the book, that's what it's all about. Subversive government elements who are really running the show.
Well, I say, let it keep making the news. Let our culture keep on invading that culture, the rest of the culture, because it only makes what we do easier and makes it more sense.
And gives us more listeners.
That also.
Who will in turn give us more listeners.
In
who will
theory.
In turn buy more advertising. Who will in turn keep me in DVDs.
Listen, Charlie.
What?
This isn't the Peanuts Gang. It's not It's Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Charlie Brown.
Oh, why haven't we done that yet? Where I can do the whole episode talking like this.
I'll kill you.
In the Charlie Brown voice.
Where are those daggers? Fantastic.
Fantastic. I think we should take a break before we come back and do the wrap-up.
Hey. This is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev's Geek Stuff or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes Store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Hi, it's Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Isn't that a daisy?
And he really is big.
What an ugly thing to say.
Stay tuned.
I'm your Huckleberry.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 50. Just episode 50. What do we talk tonight about, Kev?
Tonight we talked about Joss. Happy Fantastic. Joss Whedon will be doing the first arc on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer comic book. And he'll be followed by Brian K. Vaughan and Drew Goddard, who wrote for the TV show, Jane Eponenson and Jeff Loeb, and
Jane, who also wrote for the TV show, I believe.
Did she?
I believe so. And she also wrote for Firefly. I believe she wrote Shindig.
Did she? Well, I like that episode.
So did I. It's a good episode.
And Joss, Happy Fantastic, will come back for an additional four-issue arc And the finale of the series, which they're expecting to run 30 issues.
And again, for those of you who don't know, this is supposed to be season 8 of the television show. So continuing where the show left off.
In other Buffy news, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Omnibus series is expected to run 7 volumes and will supposedly collect all the non-Whedon Buffy stuff
right.
into giant trades,
right.
which is kind of good for Buffy fans, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Shia LaBeouf. Looks like he's going to be Lil Jones in Indy 4, which makes no fucking sense since he should have had a daughter.
True
That's
dad.
All I'm saying.
True dad. We also mentioned that Joss, Happy Fantastic, Whedon, and Brett Matthews, Will Conrad, are working on a new Serenity comic book based on...
Firefly?
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Hey, you did it, not me.
I'm really tired of that bit.
It's your fault. You created that monster.
I can only do what I can do. Someone's got to make the show funny. Right, Fantastic?
Sorry, what?
The series will take place before the Serenity film, so all of the characters who were alive before that film will
Yay!
Still be in it. So all the ones who died
Aww.
In it will be in it.
Right.
I guess.
Jason Lee continuing his voice work career in a potential up-and-coming CGI Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yuck.
Thank you, Soup Strainer, for giving him no work. We talked about Hellboy bust-ups from Sword of Storms, series of 5 pieces, little tiny plastic busts. You put them together, they look cool, and each of them comes with a piece of the graveyard skeleton, which you can build up. He's like 6 or 7 inches tall. He's huge.
Everybody doing the Build-A-Figure.
Well, and with good reason.
Sure.
5 different characters from the piece, including Hellboy with a kimono, Hellboy versus Bat God, Fighting Hellboy, and Thunder and Lightning. And I say that like I know all these characters, and really,
don't.
I know Hellboy.
Right.
Because I haven't watched Sword of Storms yet.
Gerard Butler, who I feel we are going to grow to love, with
said,
this exception.
You said but.
I did say but. It's true. Why Escape from New York remake? Why Gerard Butler as Snake Plissken? Does not make any sense.
I think it's all a lie.
I hope it's all a lie, that piece of shite.
Well, he should just be concentrating on his role as the comedian in the Watchmen film.
It hasn't been confirmed that he's going to be the comedian.
I bet you $100 he's going to be the comedian.
You could speculate.
Want to bet?
No.
I bet you $100 right now.
I'm not betting you.
We'll do
on
it
that.
On the air.
No.
I bet you Fantastic? $100?
I don't have $100.
That's the truth. Also, last week, if you picked up your copy of Casino Royale on DVD, if you picked it up at Best Buy, you were treated to a lovely free Aston Martin DBS from the film,
yes.
Little Corgi car. The packaging is very unique. It's got this kind of turn packaging, gives you some facts about the film. It's a great little giveaway. They don't get really good giveaways. Like, for example, we didn't even talk about the fact that the 2-disc Peter Pan came with a really sort of awful little figure.
See? I didn't go for the figure. I went for the collectible film cell from another source. No one who guessed that Jeff Bridges was going to be playing the Mandarin in the upcoming Iron Man film was right. They were wrong. He will be playing Obadiah Stane, who is the financier who, unknowingly to Stark, attacks James Rhodes, takes over Stark International, the chessman, yada yada, who cares, Jeff Bridges.
Dan Buckley, the publisher over at Marvel, has worked out a deal between Marvel and Heroes Initiative to offer a collected edition featuring 99 of the 100 covers done to raise money for old comic book guys. Creators, that is.
Right.
Not Matt. And every one of the covers will be in the collection, except the one by lonely and
Aww.
Sad Todd McFarlane.
It's lonely on that throne, Todd.
Isn't it lonely, Todd? Isn't it?
New Line and DC Comics working on a film adaptation of Shazam. Who cares?
Shazizzle.
Exactly.
Marvel and IDW joining forces to produce the new Avengers Transformers crossover. Everyone in this room thinks that's a giant shithole of an idea.
Right.
Fantastic. Was almost in tears. because his great dream of the G.I. Joe Transformers movie will probably never happen. And
maybe they'll do like G.I. Joe Fantastic Four.
I just want G.I. Joe. And that's it.
That's coming.
Yo, Joe.
With rumored Mark Wahlberg.
Ugh. As Duke.
Duke.
Great abs.
Rorschach. Image popped up online on Ain't It Cool, apparently from Zach's iPod. Rorschach.
I thought the rumor was that he had put like one frame of it in the last 300 trailer.
That's what I had heard. That if you had seen the 300 trailer, and I heard specifically it was YouTube, and I don't know if it was one specifically for YouTube or not, but there was one little frame image of Rorschach hidden in there.
So well, either way, it's out now. We all seen it. We all know he's working on the movie. It's a secret to nobody.
Exactly.
And nor is it a secret that Gerard Butler will be playing the comedian. So,
we hope
that's going to happen.
And speaking of Gerard Butler and abs, we talked about...
Mr. Abtastic.
Yeah, Mr. Abtastic. We talked about 300 not being homoerotic, but potentially being political.
And really, overall, what we talked about is the larger view of our culture being taken as serious fact, and as Fantastic said, either to distract us...
Right.
Or I feel to just not report on the stuff that's important anymore. Captain America dying and the Iranians not wanting to watch 300 really don't seem like valid news to me, considering A, that we are in a war.
Right.
And B, that there's so much going wrong in the country.
Right.
That the only things that they have to report on is that, you know, a comic book icon dies in the comic book, which always happens and never stays permanent, or the fact that a movie about Spartans based on a comic book based on history is now somehow politically relevant in the right. Middle East. It's ridiculous. However, as it is ridiculous, it does shine a light on the industry. It will bring more people to books, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
And in my opinion, it is a welcome break from the latest Brangelina news or Britney shaving her head again.
There's Brangelina news?
Yeah, didn't she just adopt some baby from Vietnam or something? See?
Really?
I'm getting the head shake. I know. I follow the Brangelina. No, not really.
You do, don't you?
No, it was on Yahoo News. It's on the headlines.
I bet you anything Fantastic knows all about
it. I saw on CNN today, Tori Spelling gave birth. What the fuck is that doing on CNN.com?
I did hear that. See?
Are we done here?
We could be.
You're going to write out notes and then leave them here for like the fifth consecutive
week? I'm writing it right now. Tori Spelling... gives birth to demon.
And on that note, we cue the music.